These are eggs. Quick whisk, no risk, protein punch, power lunch, bake for dinner, easy winner, fed the lot, hit the spot, eggs. And why pick up more eggs when you're shopping? Because there are more ways to enjoy them. Like bacon and mushroom fried rice with poached eggs, delicious sautéed potatoes with spinach and eggs, or everyone's favourite, a simple cheese omelette for lunch. So versatile, so nourishing. And always choose eggs with a Board Bia quality mark for the highest standards verified at every stage. Eggs, crack on.
This week on Crime World.
There was a Republican police from 1920. I mean, the IRA was effectively trying to run an underground government. And actually, there was a crime wave. 1919, 1920, there's a wave of bank robberies, post office robberies, robberies of individuals, robberies of pubs in Dublin and in rural areas as well. So the IRA tried to actually clamp down on that. They, on occasion, solving bank robberies and giving the money back to the banks. Now,
I'm Nicola Tallant, and you can listen to my podcast, Crime World, wherever you get your podcasts.
Seachtain, an Indo Ascaeilige.
Time I mon iarrachtaí a dhéanamh teacht ar a chorp, agus súlagam amach anseo gur féidir é a chur in uaig ceart lena bhaintear féin.
Scíltí, fios, tuairimí.
Tá sé dochreite nach bhféadfach ara i gcuir na meáin an cheist sin a eicáil.
Bhí an talam ag gnám go raibh orthchar an reachtam. Iadach sé tarrin grúvan ar cárstan i lis dúhal agus gimine fnacht gór a clig sár dúchas in éachar. Nau ni vin áun dár dárach sé sin, vin marav.
Seachtain. Find us on all the usual podcast platforms.
This is an Irish Independent podcast.
Hello and welcome to The Left Wing. Well, the Aviva Stadium is set to be close to a full house for Leinster against Munster in the URC tomorrow. The starting teams are in and there really is so much to talk about in this game. Rory O'Connor is here. Rory, my immediate impression looking at that Leinster team when it came out was, whoa, they've gone with a 6-2 split in the bench. Robbie Henshaw starts, Tadhg Furlong starts, Jack Conan starts. I think this is what is called a statement of intent.
Yeah, it is, Sinead. I was just at Leo Cullen's press conference there and he was asked if revenge was on his mind and he very much said, oh no, it's always a big game against Munster and they're all big games and we're looking forward to them all. But, Hugo Keenan last Saturday night after the Scarlets game said that they're on a bit of a revenge mission this week and in 2 weeks' time against La Rochelle, and you can almost see that in this team. He has to roll them out in some way because he hasn't had them back long from the World Cup, and he kind of has to get them a bit of game rhythm before they go and play those European games in a couple of weeks. But and what better place to do it in what's expected possibly to be a sold out Aviva Stadium tomorrow night in front of a big television audience and stuff. You know, why not use what you have when they're available to you? So it's impressive. And you look at the couple of names missing from Munster, and the fact that when they beat Leinster famously here last May, Leinster did feel a rotated side in that game. So it's a bit of a shift in dynamic, and if Munster want to back that win up, then they're going to have to be very, very good.
Yeah, and Munster have named their team obviously as well. 6 changes. Peter O'Mahony, as expected, he's been ruled out with that shoulder injury. Simon Zeebo starts a full back. Rory Scannell's in the centre. No Nankivell, which is kind of surprising. Stephen Archer starts in the front row, will become the most capped Munster player of all time. Dermot Barron starts. Klein is back. Tomasa Hearn starts in the back row for the first time. Overall, though, is it a surprising Munster team selection?
Well, it is, because there was no inclination that Alex Nankivell was going to be injured. Although there's nothing in the press release about him being injured, you would imagine, based on his performances so far, he would have played in this game, because he's only building a partnership with Antoine Frisch that's, I think has a bit of promise, but still has a lot of work to go. But he has been very impressive in the games that I've seen him. Like Zeebo's kind of come out of nowhere to go into fullback. You know, I watched a bit of Munster training last week and he was off with the kind of young guys. Now, like, he's almost a forgotten man of Irish rugby at this stage. He's featured so little over the last year, really. You know, he's featured more as a pundit than a player, really, over the last while. So it's a huge opportunity for him to remind everyone of what he's got as a fullback, because he is. Over the years, he's been a phenomenal rugby player and probably spent the best chunk of his career in Racing, that time when he took that decision. And since he came back, it hasn't gone, the RFU funded his deal. I think they had Ireland in mind when they brought him home, but it hasn't really gone to plan. He hasn't made that impact. So this is a chance for him, 2 weeks out from Europe, to kind of make a statement about what he's all about. But it's really up front where this game is going to be won and lost, especially with Leinster going for that 6-2 split. And I suppose in this now post Peter O'Mahony captaincy era, the fact that Dermot Bannon's been handed the leadership gong when it is a team featuring some of the other contenders is another talking point. So that's, you know, is he being lined up as the next Munster captain?
Yeah, what do you think? Because I know people mentioned like Tadhg Byrne as well as being among the possible candidates. Obviously, you know, was announced this week that Peter Martin is stepping down. Is this another sure sign that Barron is in that leading role to take over?
Well, he's certainly in the frame, I think. You know, I would have thought Tadhg Byrne would be the natural successor. I think John Klein should be in the conversation now, World Cup winner, a very consistent performer for them. Craig Casey's another who's been mentioned in dispatches, but it's interesting that there is no outstanding candidate, really. You know, O'Mahony, I guess, has been a fixture there for so long in that role that we haven't really thought about what life would look. I mean, I'm sure Munster have, but you know, it hasn't been a big talking point about who would take over. It's funny, I was asked 2 weeks ago when they collapsed against Ulster, who were the leaders on that pitch, and you kind of look at the team sheet and you're not quite sure. Now, I'm sure within the Munster setup they have a good idea. I know Alex Kandelan captained teams as he came through, but he needs to earn his place in the side. Jack O'Donoghue has often captained when O'Mahony's not there, but you know, again, when you have everyone available, he doesn't get into the team necessarily. So it's a big question hanging over them now, as they, you know, the fact that O'Mahony captained them last week and then stepped away this week is a kind of unusual one, and it leaves them with a bit of a dilemma. So, Barron's getting another chance. He captained them up in Ravenhill 2 weeks ago. He's got another chance today. He does start in all the big games because he is their number one hooker as it stands. So, I guess it's an opportunity for him, and an opportunity for him as well against Dan Sheehan. Ronan Kelleher coming into the fray as well. He was in and around that Ireland setup over the summer, so it's a chance for him to make a bit of a mark in his own right.
Yeah, and you went through kind of a number of the talking points, a lot of which I stole from your piece in the Irish Independent this morning. So, of course, one of those is obviously number 10. So, Ross Byrne will start for Leinster tomorrow. Ciarán Foley is on that bench with that 6-2 split. And Jack Crowley starts and Tony Butler is on the bench for Munster. I mean, it really is such a chance to make a convincing case for Byrne or Crowley for next February, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, they are the incumbents. You know, Johnny Sexton steps away, so if everyone shifts up one, then Jack Crowley is now the number one out half in Ireland, and Ross Byrne is number two. And there's a bit of jostling behind them for a position as to who gets into the squad for the Six Nations. Frawley will be in and around that, and it's interesting that he gets the nod ahead of Harry Byrne, who did train at the Aviva Stadium here this morning. Sam Prendergast wasn't with the squad, so whether he's playing club rugby this weekend or is doing some conditioning, I'm sure we'll find out at some stage. But as it stands, the battle for that number 10 jersey next February, you know, the Six Nations kicks off in 2 months' time. You know, it's kind of hard to believe that we'll all be back in Marseille in a couple of weeks, and it'll be either Jack Crowley or Ross Byrne in that number 10 slot. And I sat down with Jack Crowley on Tuesday, and the piece will run overnight on the website and in the Irish Independent tomorrow. You know, he has his eyes on that, but I'm sure, I've no doubt that Ross Byrne does as well. And we'll see, this is a huge opportunity to make a statement themselves. Now, you would imagine, looking at those two teams, that he will be behind the dominant pack, because that Leinster pack is so strong. It's going to be a big job for Munster. So Crowley might have to manage the game off the back foot, which is a big challenge, but it's one, if he succeeds and if he can make the right decisions at the right time, no doubt Andy Farrell and his coaching team will be watching closely. So I don't think there's a lot between them. I still wonder that if Johnny had gone down at the World Cup, who would have started? You know, whether Crowley was on the bench because he was so versatile, but Byrne might have been the one that they turned to when they needed experience from the start. That you will never know, because Sexton made it through. But in terms of that pecking order, tomorrow's game will have a big impact on what Andy Farrell decides to do down the line.
Yeah, and what about kind of that scrum dominance, as you also mentioned this morning? I mean, so there was some calls for Ollie Yeager to be brought straight into the Munster squad for this weekend, which I always thought was way too early, considering he was only arriving from New Zealand, I think it was earlier this week. What about that area tomorrow? I mean, looking at that Leinster team.
Yeah, and you got Stephen Archer Munster's most capped player, and a significant achievement for him, but he's up against it from the start. He's I think the fact that John Klein is back in their second row and scrummaging alongside Tadhg Byrne, we sometimes underestimate the impact the second rows do have. And John Klein is a powerhouse scrummaging tight head lock. You know, he will bring a lot of stability behind Stephen Archer and Dermot Barron as they go up against Porter and Sheehan. And then, you know, you have the battle on your side of Lochman, who spent a lot of time in Ireland camp without playing much at the World Cup up against Furlong. So he knows Furlong. They've scrummaged against each other numerous times this year. So that familiarity should give them some comfort. They've mixed up their combinations a little bit as well with John Ryan on the bench, which means he'll be scrummaging with, it's Witcherly. Oh no, Dave Kilcoyne's back. So that again, Witcherly's not in the 23. He's struggled the last couple of weeks. So Dave Kilcoyne's return, you know, that's his first game since the World Cup as well. So that's another bit of comfort for Munster to try and shore up that area. But it's still an area of that they'll be a little bit worried about going in. When, like for Graham Rowntree, as you know, a former prop who's their head coach, it must be a real badge of dishonour, I guess, to kind of to have your scrum eviscerated really last week by the Stormers, and really be the way Ulster changed the game a week previously was Munster had dominance in the first half, but Ulster, as the game went on, grew more and more dominant and really won the game on the back of their scrummage. So it's something Munster need to fix. You know, they're playing Bayonne in 2 weeks' time, then they go to Exeter. That, you know, they will be tested in that area, and teams will be doing their research and seeing where they're weak. So that is an area at the moment where they're weak, but they have shown an ability over the last couple of years to scrummage very well. So they need to just get back to that level. And look, Jaeger was never going to play this week. I think that was a throwaway remark by Graham Rowntree that got picked up. That he, you know, if you flew business class, that he might have a chance. But I mean, he's on a 4-year deal. They didn't sign him for this week. They've signed him for the next 4 years to play for Ireland. So he'll have an impact. But again, I don't know if he's the kind of get a, you know, a silver bullet for their scrummaging issues. I mean, he's been coming from Super Rugby. We've seen Michael Alalatoa struggle off the back of being a Crusaders prop in European rugby. He's got a bit of adjustment to do, and I wouldn't expect a massive instant impact from him, although I think he is a significant signing for them in the long term.
Yeah, after seeing those team sheets this morning, it really does seem like this result could only be going one way tomorrow. Is that...
Yeah, it's hard to predict anything other than a Leinster win. You know, I think like I think that you can't underestimate the fact that the semi-final last season did shift the dynamic a little bit in this relationship, and Munster have made Leinster a bit angrier, and will have to deal with the consequences of the full Leinster backlash. And what that backlash looks like will be very interesting. But it's a strong, on paper, it's very much a stronger Leinster 23. They have Munster in most areas, but I wouldn't dismiss Munster's chances either. Especially, you know, Leinster, there's still question marks over them and how they're going to manage games. Across 80 minutes, you know, they've started to kind of score in bursts and then kind of try and ride out the middle of games and stuff like that. And Munster will try and hang in that fight and bring it to a battle where it comes down to the last 15, 20 minutes. But without O'Mahony, even Jack O'Donoghue, without Nankivell, who's, you know, we saw how important Malachi Fekitoa was in that the run-in last season. Like, I think Nankivell is looking like a very different but very effective player. It might be like they've been patchy bits so far this season. Munster, Leinster haven't been perfect, but they can get to a better level. And in front of a home crowd, a packed stadium, you know, I think they hold all the aces really to go and win this game.
Okay, well, let's just quickly look at Connacht and Ulster as well. Connacht play the Bulls in Pretoria tomorrow, going for those back-to-back wins in South Africa. 6 changes to their team. Sean Jansen will make his Connacht debut, starts at number 8. Cathal Ford is in the centre again with David Hawkshaw, who I thought was brilliant last weekend in Durban. And just again at number 10, I like the way Pete Wilkins is really working this quite nicely. Jack Carty is back in the team and JJ Hanrahan is on the bench for tomorrow.
Yeah, that's good squad management, I guess. You know, I think it's a bit of a free hit for Connacht. You know, they got their win over there. They probably, I think coaches largely, you know, have a spreadsheet and budget for certain results across certain parts of the season. They've got Leinster coming to town next weekend. They're at altitude. That makes life a little bit more difficult up at Loftus. And the Bulls have gone well so far this season. And it'll probably present them with pictures, you know, with challenges that they probably don't suit Connacht's strengths in terms of their forward dominance, their ball carrying and all that sort of stuff. But like Connacht are in good form themselves. This is two of the form teams in the league, I think, you know, and the conditions, the fact that they have that win under their belt, I would think Connacht would be quite happy to take home 1 or 2 points from this fixture. And if they got something more, it'd be a bonus. But they would have budgeted probably from 1 win out of 2 over there. And they've already got the result that they wanted from that trip. So I think it's you know, as much of a free hit as you can get in this league, which is increasingly competitive. It's a good Connacht side. They're going well. But I just wonder, at altitude, you know, that's a hard one to go up and try and complete that job. So I think Connacht might just not have enough for the Bulls.
Yeah, and Ulster away to Glasgow tomorrow evening. Stephen Kitsoff is on the bench for them. They've been fairly trumpeting their big signing since he arrived in Belfast.
Well, I mean, Leinster are denying the very existence of Jack Nienaber as it stands, and they're refusing to tell us when he's arriving, whereas
has there been clarity on that? Is he going to be there tomorrow?
He's not going to be here tomorrow, as far as I'm aware, but they're still being quite jittery about it and quite elusive about it. I don't know if they think a team of photographers is going to descend on the airport. I don't think that's going to happen, but like Ulster had their own camera crew at the airport to welcome Kitsoff in. They had footage from the first meeting. And look, like, what's wrong with a bit of hype? You signed a World Cup winner. They're paying them big money to be over here, and they're trying to make it a good news story. And I think that's the way, you know, teams, rugby needs to sell itself, and sometimes does a very bad job of that. So, you know, he's not going to be a fireworks kind of player, but he brings instant stability to their scrum. He's such a, you know, powerful, consistent scrummager. You know, he has been very, very good at, you know, he's very good at the World Cup. You know, he's not a razzle dazzle all carrying all, you know, he wouldn't be the kind of figure to say, you know, an Andrew Porter would be, but he fits into what they're doing there. He will lock down their scrum, and he gives them some impact off the bench over in Scotland tomorrow. So like, there's, you know, it's a good team. You know, it's a strong Ulster team. Tom O'Toole being back is big as well. You know, Stockdale's going well. It's interesting they've gone with Billy Burns ahead of Jake Flannery. You know,
Jake Flannery's been brilliant.
Yeah, he has. Did I say Jake or Jerry? I meant Jake if I said Jerry, but he has been very good, and that's, you know, should hopefully bring out the best in Billy Burns as a response. So it's a tough fixture for him, though. I mean, like the Bulls, Glasgow have been going well, and Ulster, it's been a patchy enough start to the season. You know, that Munster win was important, but they weren't great against the Lions last weekend. And, you know, they've rested a couple as well here, I think. So that I would imagine that, you know, if they could get a losing bonus point over there, they'd be quite happy.
Okay, good stuff. We've got to leave it at that. Rory, thanks a million for that. Yourself and Keane are going to be back at the Aviva Stadium with another podcast after Leinster against Munster tomorrow. So keep an eye out for that one. Have a good weekend. Thanks for listening.